we in America should be grateful to God for the blessings he's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation, because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
All right, so listen to this, folks, as we start this hour. The Council for Economic Advisors just sent out another tweet. So I talked about the other tweet that I can't talk about because I just told the guys, take that off my screen, and then now I wish I had it. But anyway, that's okay. I talked about the other one, talking about the average discretionary income is $5,200. That they put out now that from 2017 until June of 2019, last June, just that, a month ago, the average American family has increase of $5,200 in discretionary income, right? Good, pretty good news. So the Council of Economic Advisors just put out this morning. This is really good news. That's good news. That's great news. This is even better news. And I want you to think about this for a minute. The lowest wage earners, this is the lowest wage earners in the country. So this could be, high school kids just coming out of school, getting a job, or college kids, or a low income people that have minimal educations that are working various jobs that are able to get work now. The lowest wage earners have had and still have the fastest nominal wage growth since President Trump has signed into law the TCJA, the Tax and Job Bill. 8.9% growth rate. First of all, let me point out that is an incredible number as far as wage growth goes. But let me also point out that it is really still, even with inflation, because we have had such low inflation, that number is still looking like about 7.2%, which is still amazing, even when you factor in inflation. That is an incredible number. Again, I'll say what I said last hour. Democrats, stop talking about the economy, man. Don't even go there. Don't even go there, because you're going to make fools of yourselves. And this is far better than President Bush or President Obama has done. Growth in nominal median usual weekly earnings for the 10th percentile of full-time wage and salary workers between 2017 fourth quarter, that this would be the fourth quarter of 2017, through the second quarter, the end of June of 2019, was the fastest group of wage growth over any other group. Come on, man. The numbers just keep getting better. We wonder why. Maybe you don't wonder why, but you wonder why consumer spending still stays so high. Look, I want you to know that the progressives, the far left, the left, I think I'm safe to say all of the Democratic Party, which are now bowing down at the foot of socialism or communism or fascism, really has nothing to offer the American people. They cannot talk about any of this. This is so, they hate this. Let me tell you, if the Democratic Party loses the lowest wage earners in the country, if they lose that segment of voters and I don't say this in any derogatory way, if they lose that segment of the population, they have nothing. They have nothing. We are watching unfold before our eyes this self-implosion and destruction of the Democratic Party. It is as if they went out on a mission to destroy their party, to destroy their voter base, to not have any voter base, to make sure that none of them get reelected. Oh, will some of them get reelected? Of course they will. Because there are like-minded people in some districts enough to re-elect a like-minded person. I'm trying to figure out why any young person aspiring to be a politician would align themselves up with a failing party. Why would you do that? Why would you not want to get, why wouldn't Tide laundry detergent not want to advertise on Fox News? Let me see. Do I want to be on the number one news network watched by more Americans than any other? Or do I want to be on MSNBC? Why would they spend money on the others instead of spending more money on what is moving forward ahead, getting better, growing, and appealing to most of the population? I don't know. Anyway, something to think about. Here comes our Ag Report, Craig Haggart. We sure appreciate Craig. We'll be right back after this.
This is Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, corn prices traded lower yesterday in lack of fresh supportive news, favorable weather conditions, and fund selling. The September contract hit the 200-day moving average area at $4, but still managed to close above it. The corn crop appears to be growing fast in many areas, although there's some real concern about quality and yield, as well as concerns about the possibility of a September freeze, which really would raise havoc with this crop. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 2 cents higher. Soybean prices traded lower on more favorable weather and a glim outlook for a trade resolution with China anytime soon. This week's meeting was said to be constructive with discussions that evolved around increased U.S. goods to be purchased by China, as well as an agreement to meet again sometime in September. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading unchanged. Wheat prices were lower on row crop weakness, harvest pressure, and the lack of decent demand. There seems to be a bit of export business around, but it doesn't look like the U.S. is going to get any of that business. We're seeing a lot of grain moving from bins to the elevators to make room for row crops or to pay recent bills. Yesterday, there was also a fair amount of free DP grain that needed to get priced or put on storage contract to avoid incurring DP storage charges. And that pricing action resulted in more hedge pressure on futures, which helped pressure prices yesterday as well. In the overnight trade, Chicago was trading unchanged. Kansas City is 2 cents higher, and Minneapolis is up a penny as I record this. After a couple of weaker sessions, cotton futures managed to post a higher close, with December futures up 48 points as they settled at 63.84 yesterday. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 13 points lower. Livestock futures were lower straight across the board yesterday. October live cattle futures finished the session $1.425 lower, while the September feeder cattle futures were down $1.60. Lean hog futures had another tough outing, with the October futures down the $3 limit. Class 3 milk futures had a second consecutive poor outing, with the September futures down 12 points to settle at 17.68. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading down an additional point. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 49 cents lower to settle at 213.54, while selects were down $1.44 for the day as they closed out at 189.69. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished 41 cents higher for the day as they closed at $87.50 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. 610-363-1110. You know, the economic data that is coming out, some of the real facts, hard, fast, and true facts that are coming out of this administration continue to be amazing. And I hope that the administration believes they are as amazing as, in fact, they are, and has a sense of balance as to where they were just 5 years ago compared to where they are right now. I don't expect the Democrats to figure it out. They can't go there. They don't look at these things because they don't want to go there. They can't allow their ideology to get clouded with facts and figures. And I get that. I understand it. I don't understand it. I get it, though. I know that's where they're coming from. So that's sad and unfortunate. But I do believe that the American people are ready and willing to get it. I know that the American people are sick and tired of what they're watching. When you watch those debates last night, I can't even bring myself to even say the word debates last night, which I just did. I mean, it's just pathetic. I mean, it's a circus. So, you know, it is... It's sad. I mean, it's just sad, but I do know this much. The American people have figured it out, and every day more and more are figuring it out. And every time I'm talking to people that I know to be, I knew to be radically liberal, are all of a sudden, they're not so, all of a sudden they sound like moderates. They haven't come all the way over to the conservative side, but at least they're starting to look at some of these numbers, and more individual peoples, regardless. Here's the beauty of the numbers. It doesn't take, you don't have to say, well, I don't know anything about economics, so you don't need it. Here's what you need. Some good old-fashioned, God-given common sense. That's all you need. You don't need to have a certain intellectual capability to be able to understand what's going on. It isn't that complicated, folks. And if you're just, if you think, well, you know, and I'm a nobody, no, you're not a nobody, you're a somebody. And your vote is every bit as powerful as anybody else's vote. And you need to understand that. You have every right to stand up and be counted for as an American citizen, as everybody else does. And your thoughts, your attitudes, your ideology does matter for the foundational structure of America, to what made this country great. It does matter. So you, and you do possess, whether you believe or not you do possess the abilities and the common sense to look at these things logically. And I would submit to you that you are more qualified, if you don't think you're qualified, you're more than qualified than somebody that you think is qualified, because you have good old-fashioned street smarts. You have a common sense that maybe has come through kind of keeping your ear to the street. And that is far more valuable and more logical than so many other people. So don't think that this doesn't, these numbers, I don't think that these numbers don't mean anything to you. I think they do, if you just allow yourself to think about it. So if you're a liberal and you're listening to this program, and I know there are many, because I couldn't get some of the hate mail I get without knowing that you're listening. So if you're listening, that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad you are. I don't care whether you agree with me or disagree with me. It's irrelevant. I'm just glad that you're listening. And if you're listening, I would just challenge you. Just think about some of these numbers. And if you don't believe them, then spend a little time doing the research to look into them and figure it out. I mean, it's easy to do. You know, I quote statistics all through the Obama administration about what was happening in the government. And I used to always tell people, and it's still true today, 95-98% of the numbers that I talk about are derived from the government, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Department of Labor, Department of Commerce, and even the Census Bureau are derived from the government. Why? Because nobody's better at indicting the government than the government is. You don't need to go to your think tanks. Just go to the government. You'll get, because they just put the numbers up there the way they're coming in. You don't have to. Now, they get spun in all different directions, but you just got to just go there and you'll see it for yourself. Don't try to do some creative mathematics on the numbers. take the numbers for what the reality of the numbers are. And it's pretty amazing. If you care about America, you got to care about these numbers. If you care about future generations, children, grandchildren, or just future generations in general, then you got to care about it. If you care about being and maintaining America being the land of opportunity, the land of hope for immigrants all over the world, then you've got to care about these numbers. I know I do. I'm a product of immigrants. All of my grandparents were immigrants. My father as well. I mean, everybody is coming here from some sort of immigration in their background. And we need more immigrants. We need immigrants that want to come here because they want a better way of life. They want an opportunity to prosper. They want something better for their families. We want those people here. And when you look at these numbers, you got to want to gravitate to these numbers and want to be a part of a growing economy that will remain one nation under God, indivisible, that will remain the land of opportunity for immigrants. We welcome immigrants. We've never stopped welcoming immigrants. We just want legal immigrants. We just want them to come through the process. And we want to vet them for primarily one thing, that they desire to assimilate into the American culture in a way that is going to shape and build and grow an even better America for future generations. We want people coming here because they want a piece of the land of liberty. They want a piece of freedom that capitalism and America brings to them. That's what we want. That's what we need to vet them for, nothing else. And if they want that, we gotta streamline. We gotta help our immigration systems. Got to get better. We live in a world of real time data. We don't have any trouble. We should be able to vet people in about 30 seconds. I just bought a new rifle for my children, for my grandchildren, to start teaching them to shoot with. It's really a nice rifle, by the way. It's a Henry 22 lever action. It's really, really nice. It's a new model they have. Anyway, I just got it a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, I went in and I bought it, and they had to order it. I went in to a gun shop I go to all the time. I went in and bought it. It took them, it was maybe 30 seconds to do the background check. We live in a world that's real-time data is readily available. So anyway, we gotta work towards these things, and I hope when we see these numbers, we realize why immigrants want to come here. It's a reminder of why immigrants want to come here. We just need them to come legally. If I could speak to all the illegal immigrants, I would say, please, just come through a port of entry. We're not going to turn you away. We just want to have an opportunity to turn away the bad people. We want to have an opportunity to vet you a little bit. And then we want you to go through the proper process to become a legal citizen of the United States of America. And if that's not what you want, then you need to go home. If you're walking here in a crowd flying your flag of origin, why do you leave? One of the most amazing sights I've ever witnessed was the last time President Xi was in Washington, D.C., and my wife and I were there, and we were staying in a hotel right down the street from the hotel where the president, she was staying. And we would walk through this part of D.C. where the motorcade from President Xi would come driving down and go to the White House. And there were people, literally, for the 2 days we were there, lined up, camped out on the sidewalks. These are Chinese Americans waving the Chinese flag and waving to get a glimpse at and wave to a president that oppresses its people, that is a communist regime where children are starving all throughout the land that he doesn't care a lick about, that is paying people and children at slave labor rates so that they might buy a tiny bit of food for one day. And they're cheering this guy, but I would submit to you, none of them would go back and live there. That's, those kinds of things don't compute to me. But anyway, this is the country that we're building. And when we see these numbers and see what this president is doing, you can say what you want about the president. I want everybody to like him, obviously, but if you don't, that's okay. What I want you to do is vote for prosperity for America. All right, let me go back to phones. Go to Steve in Iowa. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
We're partners.
Thank you
for taking our call.
Sure.
And I'm 60 years old. I figure I'm working at least 10 more years, God willing.
Good for you.
And I have about $15,000 in a health savings account that's inactive. We've had some interactions with them here recently. And I guess I just kind of wondered where the health savings account fits into the scheme of things in general, in your opinion, to start out with.
So I would say that anything in your health savings account that is over and above maybe two situations where you could use that high deductible or need to, have that high deductible paid for that you have, once you get, there's a safety amount that I would want you to always have in cash. But beyond that, as it builds up over the years, I don't see any problem with investing it like you would any IRA money, because it really is IRA money. That's how it's treated, as you get closer to retirement.
Okay. But would you mind me saying who it's with?
No.
HSA Bank, used to be Webster Bank out of Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually kind of using it as retirement, and that has them concerned, apparently, because they recently classified the thing as inactive, and we had to get that straightened around. But I haven't.
But you haven't contributed to it?
No, I'm not, because I'm not in a high deductible health plan.
Oh, I got you.
I got you.
Okay, hold on one second, Steve. I'll finish you right after this quick break. Folks, we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Sirius. Great to be here. I was talking to Steve from Iowa, in reference to an HSA account. So, Steve, let me just understand. You got an HSA account. You no longer have high deductible insurance, so you're not contributing to the HSA account, but you are using those funds on occasion?
No, I'm not at all. I kind of guess look at it as something I could use later on after I retire.
Okay, gotcha. You can change that. You can pull that money out and roll it over to an HSA account at a Charles Schwab or a TD Ameritrade or something, and then you can invest that like you would invest any IRA money, because it's used like traditional IRA money, and you are allowed to invest HSA savings.
So would I just set up an account at Schwab or whoever and have them do that then?
Yes. You would go to one of those and you would set up an HSA account. Tell them it's going to be a rollover. You're no longer contributing to it, but you want to be able to invest the funds. And they'll tell you, make sure that you can set that account up with them. Not every brokerage allows it, but most of them do. So you can ask them. There may be a rule change. I'm not sure. Years ago, you were allowed to roll IRA money one time into an HSA, but you weren't allowed to roll HSA into an IRA. There's some talk of that changing, so you can ask them. Maybe you can roll it right into an IRA account. That would be, I don't know that it would be better, because it's all treated the same. So it really probably doesn't matter. But you should be able to do that, and that's what you're going to need to do. Where you are at now, they don't know what to do with it. They're a banking situation where all they can do is pay a little bit of interest on it. But you definitely need to move that out of there.
Okay, yeah, I was going to wonder if they're biblically responsible also, but sounds like, yeah, they are definitely. Seems like they are a bank and not,
yes,
not an investment.
Yeah.
Have you got any videos on HSAs on your website?
You know what? I don't. I don't believe I do. I don't think I have, and maybe that's something that I need to put on my list to do something with. But HSA rules are identical to traditional IRA rules. So there, if you look at what the rules are for all the money like a traditional IRA would be, when you start taking that money out, it's taxed to you as income. So there is no penalty. You're out of any penalty stages because that ends at 59 and a half. So there are no penalties, but any money you withdraw, you would pay as income tax. And you are allowed to invest HSA money, just like you would a traditional IRA account. So the only rule that is different with an HSA account is the contribution rules. So the maximum contributions are a little bit different, a little bit lower than they are in an IRA. And the handling, you know, of that, obviously the contributions are, you have to have a high deductible or a health savings account or a high deductible account of over $2,700 for a family deductible. It has to be over that to participate. But other than that, it's basically for you, it's just going to be the same as the IRA rules.
Okay.
All right, so that'll help you get it moved over, though. I would definitely do that so that you have an opportunity to invest it for the next 10 years.
And Schwab and Ameritrade are biblically responsible.
Yeah, no. So what we worry about as far as being biblically responsible is where the money's going. We want it to be invested in things that are biblically responsible. TD Ameritrade may be biblically responsible. Schwab is not. But that's not where you're going to put the money. They're going to be your holding tank, but it's what you invest in that's important.
Okay, that's right. Yep, got it.
Okay.
All right,
Stephen.
Sure, appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for your partnership. God bless. Let me go to Sherry calling us from Texas. Hey, Sherry.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. I'm a partner, 53. And a question about investing when I've got an IRA at about $198,000 and a Roth that I just started at about $6,500. When I combine those totals and I'm only contributing to the Roth IRA right now, my percentages for the Timothy funds are too much when I combine the total value to invest 5% in my Roth IRA, which only has $6,500 in it. So how do I break that down? Do I just put a small percentage?
Yeah, so if you're following that asset allocation model, you have to include the total. Now, the traditional IRA money is invested in something, right? In mutual funds,
yes.
I guess? Okay.
It is invested. Well, it's invested in all of your asset allocation.
Oh, the traditional is?
Yes.
Okay. So then, So then I would just include, again, the entire total, the 401, I'm sorry, the Roth IRA that you're contributing to. You're obviously, your percentages are going to change every quarter,
right,
you know, as you add money into it every year for sure. But that's okay. You just try to make those adjustments. But when you are doing your asset allocation model, you might say, well, I've got my 5% in this particular fund already covered over my traditional. It doesn't matter what account it's in, but you want to just make sure that the asset allocation model is what it's supposed to be for the combined amount of money.
Okay, so I don't have any of the newer traditional or Timothy funds in my IRA because I can't contribute to that. So I opened with the new asset allocation Timothy funds in the Roth. So my, like say 10% would be $20,000 in one of the Timothy funds.
Right.
But I obviously don't have that in the Roth, or I don't even have $10,000 for any of the 5%.
Gotcha. That's okay. I would just break it down in smaller increments.
Okay.
You know, until such time, there will be a time when you stop working where you'll be able to roll that money out. But
right, and I've got plenty of cash, you know, plenty of cash set aside in my IRA over and above the 12% that you're referencing right now.
Good, good. Where is the traditional 401k or IRA? Where is that?
They are both, they're both at TD Ameritrade.
And they won't let you, it's obviously self-directed, but it has to be in mutual funds, not individual stocks?
No, I'm doing both in both. I'm making up whatever is on your buy list at the time, trying to build up the Roth account.
So tell me why you can't do the ETFs in traditional, just in the traditional IRA. I guess I'm confused. I was just going to make sure I've got it right.
No, so it's mainly just the percentages of the higher amounts for the Timothy funds, because I do have ETFs and I have every diversification you show on the asset allocation in the IRA.
All right. I
just, my percentages are too high. The 5% is too high to invest in those Timothys that I opened in the Roth, because those are the newer ones that I didn't have prior when I was and you changed those asset allocation models.
Right. Those two ETFs are new. So you don't have those two ETFs in the traditional either?
No, I have them in the Roth.
Okay. So can you put them in the traditional?
Well,
I mean, in other words, can you make up the difference by adding them to the traditional? And money?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, well, maybe you ought to do that. And that'll
take the cash?
Yeah, take some of the cash or sell something you might be over in the traditional and do it over there. And that'll give your overall portfolio, that'll give you that balance.
Okay.
And that works.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. And so obviously I'm going to be each year building up that Roth, hopefully doing the 6,500. But I just found out, changing the subject, that I am eligible for a pension from my old employer and was eligible for it last year. They do not offer a lump sum. They only offer a monthly payment.
Okay.
I can take that now. They are sending me pension projections. I don't have them yet. Should I go ahead and start taking that pension and investing that money?
It really depends on the projections.
Okay.
So I would need to get a feel for that. Here's the question, mathematically. If you get the lump sum and you look at that lump sum, or no, you're not getting the lump sum. You get the income. You get the income. And the income that you're receiving is going to be more with, let's say I would use a 5% gain on it over this period of time, and that's going to end up being more beneficial to you than the lower monthly amount or the higher monthly amount that you're going to receive, say when you're 65, then it would work. But it's just that mathematical calculation is what you'd want to look at.
Okay. I'll try and work that out. If I don't, I'll call you back when I get the
suggestion. Sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
So much.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks, after this.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. We're going to go back to phones. Let me just look at something. We got some breaking news with a tweet from President Trump saying China, Iran, and foreign countries are looking at the Democratic candidates and the dueling over the drooling over the small prospect that they could be dealing with one of them in the future. They could be able to rip off the beloved U.S. like never before with President Trump. No way. He's right about the President Trump. No way. I don't think they're drooling over even a small prospect of that. I think they're looking at it and say, we're in trouble, that we got no shot of any of those winning the election. I don't think they're drooling over the prospect. I think they're shaking in their boots and trying to figure out how they're going to deal with President Trump. That's what I think is going on, and which is a better scenario. I got to believe, well, I don't know about Iran, but China for sure is smarter than that to think than any of those people. And let me tell you, and I will say this, and I said this yesterday, I think, if they are drooling, if they are thinking, wow, this is going to be great once we get it, if they are thinking that, there can only be one reason, that they know that the fix is in somehow, and that Russia and others are going to have control over the voting. If that is, that would be the only reason they would be excited. And I got to tell you something. If China doesn't make a deal in the next 2 months, the CIA and the FBI, they better pick it up. They better pick the pace up a little bit. They've already said they're investigating. They already know that Russia is meddling in the election and has plans to meddle in the election. They better pick it up. Because if China doesn't make a deal, it can only mean only because I'm giving them, maybe I'm giving them more credit to being smarter than I think. But it could only be because they know that there's going to be meddling and chances are one of them are going to win. So the investigations either got to get to the bottom of it and get it fixed and to be able to be 100% certain that they can stop any of that before the election, or by April, May next year, they've got to say every county, every state, every municipality around the country has to go to paper ballot. And I mean, that's the only other option. It's the only other option they can do. They cannot allow the election to go on if there's any chance whatsoever that they don't have the capabilities to stop what is going to happen. And if they think they don't have that capabilities, and I hope they're not arrogant about being able to stop it and understand that they can if they can't. If they can, that's fine. But they better be absolutely certain. And if they are not absolutely certain, then we've got to go to paper ballots. And TSA, National Security, CIA, FBI approved scanners for those paper ballots. So when you're done, I know where I vote. It's a very tiny little area and a small precinct. We vote with a paper ballot, and then we go over and feed it into the scanner that reads it. So we got to make sure those scanners are not controlled by the county or the state or the precinct, that they're controlled by intelligence agencies. Really, you're going to have to be controlled by that. Then you got to have intelligence agency. Are we certain about that? That they don't want Trump out of there too. Just throw that in there. All right. Let me go to Brad in Kansas. Hey, Brad.
Hey, glad to be on air with you there.
Thank you.
Okay, sitting here on hold, of course, I come up with more questions, but yeah. Before I get to my main question, I have a quick question requires a quick response.
Okay.
Because I know how you get on these bunny trails.
I love quick responses. Go ahead.
You love bunny trails, too.
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Last time I had a loaded question for you, and I don't want to do that today. Anyway, I started the TD Ameritrade like 5 weeks ago. So much a week goes in there. I'll have that maxed out at the end of the year, and then I'll back down my contribution to for the whole year to max it out again. But I also need to get something else going, and I haven't got to that point yet. My question is 8% too optimistic of growth?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's hard to say because I don't know what you're invested in.
I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, are you young?
I'm 52.
Yeah, so you got a lot of years left.
But I've just started investing. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Is it too optimistic for this year or next year? Yes. Is it too optimistic for an average over a 10-year span, year after year over 10 years? No, I don't think it's too optimistic. I think 7 is probably more realistic, but it's not too optimistic. But remember, all we have to go on is conditions as they sit today. And that could change in a heartbeat.
Right. When I get ready to start, I'll become a partner and I'll start going off your stock picks and learning all this stuff. So 7% sounds fine with me.
Yeah.
I mean, if it becomes more, that's even better. But anyway, my main question is when I start investing in these stocks that you prefer or your stock picks every week, are any of them, do they have anything to do with China? I don't want anything to do with China at all.
Not that I know of. I don't want to say with certainty they don't. There could be, a company that sells light bulbs to China. I don't know. But there is probably two that I can think of off the top of my head that is still manufacturing a part of their component, but that both of those companies are in the process of changing that. But no, I don't know of any off the top of my head. I'm not going to say I'm 100% sure.
Okay, because I want to obviously do the biblically responsible thing and everything else.
Right, right.
And I just had another one and I forgot what it was. That's all right. We'll get started on this. I think by the time of November, I got my savings built up enough, I'll become a partner with you before then and start reading some of your stuff. And then I'll be looking at your stock picks and going from there. And I want to be a little aggressive on this. I'm a risk taker, so I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But
no, it is when you have a lot of time. When you have time like you have, it's a good thing. As long as, hey, I'm going to make 7%, and we have that year where you go down 14%, that you're not panicked. As long as you being a risk taker doesn't mean you have a risk tolerance. I know people that are risk takers until they see the risk materialize, then they panic because they don't have any tolerance for loss. But you've got to understand, that's why I say, can you make 7% over 10 years? Absolutely. I don't mean for a combined 10 years. I mean that when you look back, you will have averaged over 10 years 7% every year. That means you have some years that are down 22 and some years that are up 31 and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you should have done pretty well.
Okay. I remember what the other question was. The last lady talked about the Roth IRA. She said it was a 6,500 max. It's actually 7,000.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear her even say that.
Hope,
but yeah, it is 7,000. If you're over 50, it is 7,000. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, sound like I'm still on the right track, and we'll just keep going.
All right. Good deal. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Yep. Let me go to Robert from Texas. Hey, Robert.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Hey, a while back, you made an excellent, excellent call on HC47.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I see they're going to report out here next Wednesday for
yes.
Second quarter. I think your comments back then were something about changes in their financials and so forth.
Yes.
Any sense of what's going to go on here? I followed your advice, but I'd like to get back in now that it's way down where you predicted it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't have any thoughts about where they might go that I would talk about right now. But I will say that Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday of next week, they could go on my buy list ahead of their earnings report. So I would watch for that. I'm really just trying to get a feel at this point of what their earnings are really going to be, you know, really be about. So, you know, it's hard to do that, but that's what I'm looking to do, and we'll see how it shakes out. They have definitely lost, and I want to say lost as if lost money, but they have, their financial position has weakened dramatically, not just a little bit. So it has weakened dramatically, and their stock is showing that, is indicating that. So there's no surprise there. Their enterprise value is still strong. It's over $3 billion. I'm not sure what it is. But their market cap is over their enterprise value. And I think there's going to be some adjustment in that. So we'll see how it goes. But I would just keep watching. Right now on the surface, this looks like a time to buy in. But I would still... I would hold off. Yeah, we'll see what happens next week.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, Robert. I appreciate it. Folks, we'll be right back after this. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. We've got another hour of the program left. If you've got to leave us, have a great day. God bless. See you tomorrow.